You're listening to a new episode of the Czech German Perspectives podcast. Czech German Perspectives is brought to you by Czech German Young Professionals Program. My name is Alice, and the topic of this podcast is populism and how can we measure it. What do Donald Trump, Hugo Chavez, Viktor Orbán and Andrej Babiš have in common? Despite their differences, each of them has been labeled a populist. And these are just some examples that show that populism is a global phenomenon that poses a direct challenge to liberal democracy. But how can we identify that a political actor is populist? Can we measure the degree of populism? Does it manifest itself across the political spectrum? And how can we fight it? I will discuss these questions with Dr. Petr Kačál, a political scientist and expert on populism from the Department of Political Science and International Relations of the University of West Bohemia in Pilsen. Peter, welcome.
Hi, Alison. Thank you for inviting me.
I would start with a question about your research on populism. You have extensively studied populism in the statements of Czech political actors, for example, of the former Czech president Miloš Zeman. What populist strategies and rhetorics have you identified in Czech politics in general, and also specifically on the example of Miloš Zeman?
Okay, if I start on the more general level, I can say that in the Czech environment, we can talk about three main populist political actors. As you said, it's a former president, Miloš Zeman, then it's political party called ANO and political party called SPD, Freedom and Democracy. Mm-hmm. I suppose that we'll talk about them later. And about the strategies. In the general level, we can say that all three populist actors have some characteristics in common. Firstly, they are very often using delimitations and creating boundaries between so-called us and so-called them. Mm. Us stands for something which is in the theory of populism called a pure people, and them are the opposites. For example, establishment, government, foreigners, European Union, etc., etc., etc. Secondly, But I said it again, it's some kind of anti-establishment appeal. Like, we are not part of establishment who is corrupted and we need to do something against the corrupted and bad establishment. And if I go down to specific actors, I can start with former president Miloš Zeman, because he was using all of these strategies, but he had one which was original for his part of communication, and it was the creating of the image of self as a pure representative of the people. He very often utilized the fact that he was the first president who was elected through direct election, and he was using cliches like, of course, you can corrupt 200 politicians. It was a reference to the indirect elections, but you cannot corrupt 8 million voters. And as I stand as a representative of 8 million voters, I am uncorrupted and I am representing them. I am representing people. The second strategy, which was specific for Zeman, was using of something which is called folk language. He tries to speak as one of us. He very often used like vulgarities, folk common knowledge, and something like that. So that's the specific of the Miloš Zeman or of the populist strategies in general.
Mm-hmm. And another popular topic is migration.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. And I think that we'll talk about it later when we go to SPD.
Yeah, of course. And now about your research methodology. Mm-hmm. Populism is a challenging thing to measure. Can you explain how you identify the degree of populism?
Mm-hmm. It's quite hard to measure political populism and quite hard to say and to find some level of it. But what we can do is a fact that if we are using theory-driven methodology, we can create some kind of code tree for content analysis, which represents like the most frequent populist strategies. For example, how often the actors is using like phrases that create the image us versus them, people versus elites, or as you said, some kind of anti-immigration rhetorics, which needs to be focused on the people. You know, like many politicians are referring to migration, but to be perceived as a populist strategy, it needs to aim to people. For example, we need to protect our people, thus we need to close borders, etc., etc., etc. So in general, it's not measurable, and thus I prefer like qualitative content analysis. But we can say, for example, this political actor is using more populist claims than other political actor if we try to make like overall analysis of overall their textual production.
And what types of data you usually use? What data do you analyze?
Mostly textual data. For example, we are talking about the former president Miloš Zeman. Me and my colleague Vladimir have his whole textual production during all his two presidential mandates. It was something, if I remember it correctly, like 2.5 million words. And then we use like computer magic to help us with it.
Populism generally attaches itself to the right in the European context. In the Czech environment, as you have already mentioned, a catch-all party ANO and a right-wing party SPD are examples of parties considered populist. In Germany, it is, for example, a right-wing party Alternative für Deutschland. Would you say that we can observe populism across the political spectrum, or is it mostly the right?
It's not mostly the right. For example, when we started to talk, you mentioned the political party ANO. I am sure that we cannot say the political party ANO stands as a representative of right-wing populism, because political party is some kind of catch-all political party which tends more to the left than to the right. And in general level, we can say that we can find left-wing populism, right-wing populism. The typical representative of left-wing populism are the Latin American countries, for example, Chavezian politics, something like that. But if we go back to Europe, we can say that from the 90s to the present, we can talk about something which is called like new wave of right-wing populism. On the other hand, populism is some very specific strategy that is utilized by political actors. And all political actors, in some ways and in some period of their political time, are using this strategy. Mostly before the elections, of course. And on the other hand, you know, in social sciences, I don't know why, but we are quite often using medical metaphors. And if you are talking about populism, we can perceive populism as some kind of cancer. And you know, like the cancer has tumors. And these tumors are infecting political spectrum. So the whole political spectrum is infected by populism.
And would you say that we can observe this trend in the Czech politics now, that that we can observe populism across the political spectrum?
Yeah, for sure. But still, we can say the political parties that are using populist strategy on the highest level are the political parties ANO and SPD. But there are slight differences between them. You know, like both of them are using the anti-establishment rhetoric, which is quite funny because Andrej Babiš is a part of establishment since the fall of the previous regime. Okamura is also the part of establishment, but still he is saying like corrupt party, etc., etc., etc. But what does What these parties have in common is the fact that they are labeling themselves not as a political parties, but as a political movements. And both of them are very often using it as a delimitation tool against the political parties. So they are creating an image that political party is something which is bad, corrupt, and something like that. And political movement is something new, fresh, and we should support it.
And my last question is a very important one. How can civil society in the Czech Republic, but also generally, fight populism? What tools do we have and which do you consider the most important ones?
I will start answer as a citizen. We should not vote for jerks and smegets. But I suppose that you expect more sophisticated answer for me. So, okay, what should civil society do against populism? I suppose that I will be just repeating the like common things that are very often said, like think about it. Think about whom you believe. Think about the statement you hear from them and try to critically assess them. That's the first thing. But I am not sure that the civil society is the most important actor in the fight against political populism. The most important actors are political actors. And for example, the current government is literally opening doors for Babiš to win next elections. And they are opening the doors for him because they are totally incompetent in the process of government, and they are totally incompetent in the communication of how they rule.
Communication strategy.
Yep.
Yep.
I suppose that they don't have any communication strategy.
So would you say that the current government has a major role in fighting populism, and maybe also the current president, Petr Pavel?
Yes, because if you remember the elections between Pavel and Babiš, it was a metaphorical fight between populist actor and, I would not say non-populist actor, but less populist actor. And who won? Won Pavel, because Babiš, like, over-exceeded his populist campaign and his populist communication to such a level that he was creating fear. He was creating a fear about the war and something like that. So this is the way how the populists lose. On the other way, the current government, you know, like, they are making some precautions and some steps that are very hard to understand from the point of view of the common citizen. And they totally fail in their political communication. But then you have Babiš and SPD and Okamura, and those actors are going to utilize it. They are trying to explain it, of course, in their wicked way. But still, they are going to do it.
That is a great ending to our podcast with a recommendation for the Czech government from Petr Krčál from the University of West Bohemia in Pilsen. Thank you for the inspiring discussion.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me again.
And that's it. If you enjoyed this podcast, try other episodes from our CGYPP podcast channel.